What a blessing tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I'd like for you to have your Bibles open to the Gospel of John, chapter number 6, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John, chapter number 6. We find in this chapter this great story of the Lord Jesus feeding the 5,000, five loaves and two fish. And I want you to know that's a miracle, isn't it? 12 baskets full remain. The Bible says in verse number 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was come, now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew, so that when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time that you've given to us. Open up your blessed book. Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I stand to preach, that I'll preach with unction and with power, with conviction. Lord, I pray that we'll hear the word of God tonight and be encouraged and strengthened and helped by it to do greater things for thee. Lord, may we find our hope in Thee, and Thee alone. May we understand, God, that Christ is our Savior, all is well. Lord, may we find the peace we need tonight to live for Thee and to serve Thee and to follow Thee all the days of our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Jesus, of course, has fed the multitudes with these loaves and fish, and then he knows that, perceives that the multitude's going to come and to take him away and take him by force and make him their king. So he slips away from them and he moves away from them and he goes to the mountain. He's told the disciples, you can go and read some of the other Gospels and see this story. He's told the disciples to depart, to go away. Undoubtedly, they go down to the sea and they must wait on him for a while. And when evens come, we know that they go ahead and launch out. And they kept looking for the Lord to come to them. But when darkness came, the Lord Jesus still had not returned. The disciples waited, no doubt, as long as they could. And now it was time for them to get on board ship and head over to the other side. And while they were out on the sea, there was a storm that rose up. During this storm, they were battling, no doubt, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and the disciples were so afraid. And Jesus said, he said, it's I, be not afraid. And I want you to know that there's going to be a day when Jesus returns and gets us. And it may bring fear, but we're going to hear his voice, and he's going to say, come up hither, dear friends, and we won't be afraid. But we see in this something that we can apply to our lives. When they received the Lord Jesus into the ship, they immediately reached the other side. And there are six things I want us to look at very quickly tonight, just to have an understanding of the time that we're living and the day that we're living and the things that could very well happen at any moment. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 16, the evening of time. The Bible says, and when even was come, his disciples went down unto the sea. Now, I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus had told them, because the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark says that he told them to go out down and to go ahead and set sail. But they wait until the evening time. And they come and they're waiting for the Lord Jesus, and they want him to be with them. And we have an understanding of that, because Christians of all ages have waited for the Lord Jesus to come and to be with us. I believe Paul was looking, because he said, we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. So Paul was looking for the Lord Jesus to come in his day. But while this waiting has lasted for 2,000 years, I believe we are living in the evening of time. I believe we're living close, we're close to the edge of eternity. We're close to the time when the Lord Jesus is going to return. And when we look at this, I believe that God's time clock is nearing that, as we call it, the midnight hour. And when we think about it, there are things that help us to understand that this is that time. When we look at the condition of the world, we've never seen it like we're seeing it now. Have you ever thought that we'd see not just an economy failing here, but a global economy failing? Have you ever thought that you'd see the unrest throughout all the world that we're seeing? I mean, unrest here in civil matters, unrest here in social matters, unrest here in economic matters. We thought that that was always for other countries and for other places. But every country in the world is going through this. So we look and we see the condition of the world. I believe we're living on the evening of time. I look and I see the religious confusion. There's no doubt. People are confused. There are so many unorthodox religions out there that are preaching and teaching false things, and people are falling all over themselves to dive into those belief systems. People are confused religiously. They're confused about the things of God and the Word of God, but the Bible is clear. And all we have to do to get things settled is to believe what the Bible has to say. And then also look at the Jewish commotion. All that's going on. We're seeing all these. Look, these battles have been going on since basically the beginning of time. But we're watching heightened things take place. There's a new party getting ready to be in Israel. And this new party is going to be forcing some issues. There's no doubt. We're seeing some Jewish commotion. Now, I know people have different views, different thoughts, different philosophies about all these things. But I look at this and I understand that the Bible says that we're living in the evening of time. We're living in the time when it's getting ready to get dark. And we may see some things that we never thought that we would see. We're living in the day where Jesus could come at any moment. Preachers have preached it for centuries now, that Jesus is coming again, but I am convinced that we are so close to that coming. Now, I'm no prophet. I'm just a preacher, and I look at the Bible, and I look at the world, and I look and see all this going on, but I believe we're close to the time of the Lord Jesus coming. Then we see the darkness of night. Verse number 17, notice what the Bible says. And they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. So they go down into the ship. They go down in the evening. When the evening's come, they go down into the ship. And they get into the ship. And the Bible teaches us that the darkness of night comes upon them. They've looked for Jesus to come, but He's not yet come. And when we look at this, we realize that this evening time and this evening of time that we've talked about just before the coming of the Lord, it seems like the darkness of sin has closed in around us. Doesn't it seem like the light's going out in the world? Honestly. Doesn't it seem like that even Christians aren't being the light that they once were? But if there was ever a time when Christians ought to be the light, it ought to be now. We ought to be shining bright because the world's getting darker and darker and darker. In this time, we're seeing the light of love and the light of fellowship and the light of soul winning. It seems like that the lights are going out, and we're watching as all these things are taking place. And the Bible says that they went down and it was dark and Jesus was not yet come to them. We know that the Bible says that the God of this world is going to blind the minds of the unbeliever to try to keep the light of the gospel from reaching them. So I want you to understand tonight that it's time for us to shine brighter and brighter. I heard one preacher say, and I believe it was Lee Robertson, said either Christians are not doing their job or the gospel's lost its power. Well, I want you to know the gospel's not lost its power, but Christians have quit shining the way that we once shined. We're living in dark times, dear friends. Now, I'm not up here to try to be a doom and gloom. I'm just saying, look around us. We realize there's darkness around us. But as dark as it gets, as long as Christ is alive, all's well for us. I look at things, and when people are spreading, you know, and you know, you look and you listen, every politician, it's gloom and doom. Everywhere you look, every radio broadcast, every news, gloom and doom, gloom and doom, gloom and doom. And I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Well, here they are. They're on board ship. They've been with Jesus. They watched him. The Lord Jesus took them, and the Lord Jesus blessed the bread. He broke the bread, and he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples distributed it out, the loaves and the fish, and he distributed it out. And then Jesus said, go get the remains. And so they go and get the remains. I mean, I'm telling you, these guys know all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he sent them away, and he goes up into a mountain himself alone. And he's told them to go ahead. But apparently they're waiting till the evening of time. They wait till the evening of time. And then they wait. I wonder what would have happened if they had just went on when he said. If they had made it across before darkness settled in. But they didn't, you know. The darkness has now settled in. And with the darkness settled in, there's a storm that arises. I want you to see the third thing. The storms of life. It may be getting dark. But there's still, and I want you to see that in this darkness, there's going to be some storms. We're going to have to face some things. I believe we've been too spoiled in our lives sometimes. The Bible says in verse number 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus told them to go on, and I don't know for sure that they waited too long or too late. All I know is at evening time they went. They got on board the ship, and Jesus hadn't come, and now the darkness had settled in, and they're out on the sea, and a great storm arises. So when they board the ship, they began to row, and in one of the, I believe it's in the Gospel of Mark, it says they were toiling and rowing, and they're out there, and they're beginning to row, and as they're rowing, they're toiling and toiling, they're battling, and the wind and the waves get boisterous, they get bold, and there's never been a time, dear friends, I don't think that we've ever seen when we're trying to do the right thing, and we're having to toil and row, and we're battling the opposition of the world in such a great degree. Can you ever remember how being this difficult to do things for God? I'll never remember it. I'm young. Younger than some. I've been saved since 1985. 24 years. Been preaching for 23 years. And I began to think about how dark it's getting, and then I begin to realize the opposition we're facing. Look, it's going to get worse. I'm not doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, these are the facts. It's going to get worse. It's going to get to a point to where there's going to be things that we're not going to be able to say without getting in trouble. We're not going to be able to go out and hand out gospel tracts the way that we once did as we get closer to the time of the coming of the Lord. Are we there? I don't know. I feel like we're just right on the brink of these things. And we begin to see that there's people that are folding under the pressure. I'm watching preachers quit standing. I'm watching Christians say, well, you know, it's just not worth the fight. It's just not worth the battle. I'm watching as churches are closing their doors and folding up their tents and heading out of town. We're seeing people break under the pressure because the great winds are blowing against the church today. And I want to tell you something. Now, like what I'm getting ready to say or not, there's some laws that's being pushed right now that's going to try to really put some difficulties on churches that stand for the Bible with hate crimes and things like that that we're going to have to pray about, that God would give us wisdom and what to do and how to handle these things and against homosexuality and things like that and preaching against certain things. I'm not talking about political, I'm talking about moral issues that the Bible speaks of. And we have to realize that we have an obligation to stand on the truth. And regardless of what the world says, there's a greater authority than governments in a land, and that's God. And we have to obey God rather than men. But I believe God wants us to do things right. But I'm watching as this darkness settles in, and And I'm seeing things, and this is not something that's just happened in a month, friends. This has been happening for years. We're just now watching it go at an increased pace. And we're watching things take place. And we're seeing things that I think are just absolutely amazing for me to hear and to see. And we look at this and we see that people that are falling under pressure, but we know what the Bible says, the church is going to stand through it all. Do you realize it doesn't matter how hard the winds blow against the church, that the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The storms may rage, but the church will stand. We can be sure of that. The storms of life just bring us to the next thing, and I believe this is a great part of it all, the coming of Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. Before we begin to think, you know, well, they shouldn't have been afraid. Well, you'd have been afraid too, you know? I'm sure they couldn't tell exactly who it was, but Jesus is coming. And they saw him coming, and he has to clarify who he is. But you can think the darkness of night has come and the storm's raging, and they see Jesus. They see somebody walking on the water. It's who they were looking for. The Bible says in verse number 17, it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. So they were looking for him to come. And so they cast out and they go out into the waters. And as they're out there, the storms of life begin to rage in the darkness of night. And there's great fear. And just before it gets too bad, just before the waters overtake the ship, and just before they're about to go under, here comes the Savior walking on the water. And dear friends, just before it gets too bad, just before the water overcomes the ship here in this world, just before the winds of opposition and the winds of oppression come at us so hard that we falter and we fail, here comes Jesus riding on a cloud, coming back to catch his bride away. And see Jesus coming in the midst of the darkness of this world and the winds of opposition. And when we think that all hope is gone, I want to thank God tonight, Jesus will come. And like the disciples, the glory of his coming, it may even frighten us. I've often wondered, we're going to hear the voice of the archangel, the shout of the Lord, and the trump. The trump's going to resound. And you begin to think, you know, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know exactly, but I imagine it'll be a little bit frightening for any of us, you know? I mean, even when a good thing happens, there's always something a little frightening to me about it, you know, when you have such great anticipation about something. But then I believe that we're going to hear his voice say, come up hither. And just as soon as we hear his voice call us out, all of our fears will be dispelled. And we begin to see that the Bible says, when they were so afraid, and he says, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. When it gets so bad, and Jesus is going to come, it may startle us. I wonder if he'll say something like that. It is I, be not afraid. And we'll hear the voice of the Savior. What a time, the coming of Jesus. And then I want you to see the reception with him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. The Bible says, then they willingly received him into the ship. What a great time it must have been. They wanted Jesus to come. They wanted Jesus to be with them. They were looking for him. And now they'd gotten out in the darkness of the night and the storms were raging all around them. And fears that were there because of the storms, and it seemed like that they were getting ready to be overthrown, and then Jesus shows up. And all their fears were dispelled. Now, I've never seen the Lord Jesus. We've never seen our Savior face to face. But God's Word promises one day I'll be able to look upon Him. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as He is. In other words, dear friends, as dark as the world may get, as strong as the storms may be, you can be assured tonight, before it gets too bad, Jesus is coming again. And we're going to see Him. We're going to behold His face. We'll look upon Him. And then I want you to see the land whither we go. The Bible says in verse number 21, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You see what happened? The moment that Jesus joined them, they instantly reached their destination. That's pretty neat, isn't it? I'm glad when Jesus comes for us and we're rising up out of this world, and instantly we're going to be with Him in that land that He's gone to prepare for us. A land that we're going to, and when we get there, we're going to find out that the storms of life that we faced were worth it all. We're going to find out that the darkness we had to go through trying to be the light would be worth it all, because we're going to a land that's fairer than day. By faith now we see it afar. Our Father waits over the way. He's preparing us a dwelling place there. What kind of land is it tonight? Well, I believe tonight it's a reunion land, don't you? We're going to be reunited with our loved ones that have gone before us. We're going to see moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and friends and people that are so dear to us. We're going to see the person that knelt down beside of us and took an open Bible and showed us how we can know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're going to see that preacher that preached faithfully for all those years to us and then to our sons and to our daughters. And we're going to be reunited. And what a time it's going to be. It's going to be a rejoicing land. You know, I rejoice here. A lot of things I rejoice over. I rejoice when somebody gets saved. I rejoice over silly things. I rejoice when my children accomplish something. I rejoice when my team wins a game. I rejoice over certain things. But you want to talk about rejoicing. When we get over there, there's going to be some hallelujah times. Especially coming out of the darkness of this world. Think about what it's going to be like. You know, they say it gets darkest just before day breaks. And I believe that's the way it's going to be. It's going to get dark. But then Jesus is going to come, and instantly we're going to be in His light. It's going to be a rewarding land. Now, this is something that it could either be good or bad. But I want to have all the rewards I can get. And I want to be able to cast all my rewards back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the things that are happening in the world. I don't think it's doom and gloom. I really don't. I hate to see the things that are happening. I hate to see that sin's so accepted and righteousness is mocked and made fun of. I hate to see our country struggling the way it's struggling. I understand. But look, Jesus said it would be so. The Bible helped us to understand these things. We can't blame it on a person or on a party or on politics, or we just have to understand this, that we have to do what's right. I have to do what's right. And I have to look, and I want to tell you something. America would still be a great nation if Christians would have still been great people and would have taken the stand we ought to took all these years. So before we start pointing fingers at others, let's do everything we can to be a bright light in a dark world. And if it gets darker and darker and darker, you just keep shining for Jesus. And just before it gets too dark, you're going to hear Him. And you're going to see Him. And we're going to be with Him. But you have to be part of His family. You have to know you're saved. You have to be able to say beyond any shadow of a doubt. You have to know this tonight. You say, why are you saying you have to know this? I'll tell you why. Because you need to know this so you can have peace in your heart. You need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home. There's a lot of people that's doubting, and they're going to die, and they're going to go to heaven, or they're going to be raptured out, and they're going to go to heaven, but they're miserable along the way. But when you realize that you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that as dark as this world gets, you can still shine because you know that you're saved. Do you know you're saved tonight? Do you have peace in your heart that if Jesus were to return, If you're out there toiling and rowing and trying to do everything you can and it seems like you're not going to be able to hold on and Jesus returns, do you know that He's coming for you? Well, I want you to understand this. If Jesus comes tonight, I don't know for sure about you, but I know He's coming for me. And I'm excited about it. And I've been praying more and more lately. Lord, would You please come on back? I'm ready for You to come back. My wife, saved, as far as I couldn't believe that she wouldn't be. I can only know myself, but she says she's saved, and her testimony proves it. My daughter, my son, they're saved. My mom, my dad, my in-laws are saved. Why? I'm ready for Jesus to come. I'm ready just to go up there, and I'll never have to have sadness or anything like that again. Jesus is coming again. And it's going to get dark. I believe it's going to get darker. But as a Christian, you just remember, the darker it gets, the brighter He is. And the closer His coming is. It'll help you make it through these times. And it'll give you faith to make it through the day. I preach tonight a message simply because we are facing some of the darkest times. We're watching our nation crumble. We're watching things happen, things that we never thought we would see. And boy, all I hear is, shoo, it's bad news. But every time I open this book up, the bad news is really the good news. It's hard for people that's not saved to comprehend that. And it's even hard for us that are saved to trust it. But God's Word has never failed. Before it gets too bad, Jesus is coming. It is I, He said, be not afraid. If Jesus were to return right now, are you ready for Him? Are you ready because you're saved? Are you ready because you're living for Him? Are you ready because you're accomplishing what it is He wants you to accomplish? Are you ready? Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord Jesus, I thank You for this time we've had to look into Thy Word, and I pray that it's impacted our lives. And Lord, may we not be defeated by the darkness of this world. But Lord, may we be delighted in the fact that You promised that before it gets too bad, You'll take us out of here. Lord, I don't know when You're coming, but I'm going to pray and ask that You'd come soon. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not ready for You to come, Lord Jesus, would You help them to see? They just simply have to believe Your Word and by faith trust You as their Savior. And Lord, may they make that peace with Thee tonight and get it settled. And for those of us that can say that we're saved and we know that heaven's going to be our home, Lord, may we be determined to shine for Thee. Regardless of how dark the world gets and regardless of the storms of opposition, Lord, may we take a firm stand for Thy Word, for Thy mercy and Thy grace. May we love You enough to never back down. Lord, I pray that You'll give us the boldness we need to do that which is right. And we'll thank You now for what's accomplished, and we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano begins to play.